Random House Audio presents The Art of Influence. Persuading others begins with you. This is Chris Widener. Grandma's Gift. It was a perfect Sunday summer afternoon for a barbecue to honor a young man who had worked so hard to achieve his dreams. The sun was shining and the temperature hovered around 75 degrees. Friends and family were gathered together, some of whom had not seen each other for years. Kids played in and around the swimming pool, and the smell of burgers wafted through the backyard. Perfect. Marcus Drake had a lot to be thankful for. His parents, Bill and Margaret Drake, were classic middle class, middle American folks who'd worked hard to give their children a good life. Bill was an insurance salesman, and Margaret had been a homemaker, staying home to take care of Marcus and his brother Jack, who was 2 years younger. Margaret was part cook, part cleaning lady, part nurse, and part taxi driver to the two boys, who were the love of her life. Bill was there for most of the boys' games and school events and did his best to get home for dinner with Margaret and the boys every night. The Drakes had the classic Ozzie and Harriet existence. The barbecue was to celebrate Marcus's graduation from Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management, and everyone was thrilled to be there. Few of the Drakes had gone to college, let alone business school. No, the Drakes were a simple family. Marcus, however, wanted a different kind of life. He always had, in fact. In high school, Marcus had been a three-sport athlete, lettering in football, basketball, and baseball, and had usually made all-league. But he wasn't good enough to get a full ride to a major college, so he decided to focus on school rather than sports in college. Marcus grew up watching TV shows that showed the lifestyles of business moguls, and for as long as he could remember, he wanted to become one himself. He read Forbes and Fortune since his early teens. He was a natural entrepreneur, first launching a blackberry picking and distribution operation, then building a lawn mowing company, not to mention his forays into the proverbial hodgepodge of door-to-door sales. In each of these ventures, Marcus was the business owner who got other kids to do the work. No doubt about it, he'd wanted to run a business his whole life. He did well in college, majoring in business and graduating with a 3.5 GPA. He played intramural sports to keep his athletic skills sharp and to keep the weight off from too much pizza and studying. After college, he worked for a large corporation for 3 years and eventually applied to Northwestern, where he graduated with honors. Marcus felt like he was set for life. From here on in, things were only going to get better. Most people would consider Marcus brash. Everyone who met him certainly liked him, but let's just say no one would accuse him of being short on ego. He had big dreams, knew where he wanted to go, and did everything he could to get there. He knew he had a lot going for him. He was smart, funny, and optimistic about the future. Today was a day to sit back and enjoy, along with his friends and family, where all his hard work had brought him, to a stellar platform from which to launch the next stage of his life. As Marcus sat and pondered his future, a hand slapped him on the shoulder and a voice boomed, "So, what's next, big shot?" The hand belonged to Marcus's Uncle Fred, an insurance salesman like his brother, Marcus's dad. "Not much, Uncle Fred. Maybe start and sell a few companies, get rich, buy a nice little island in the Caribbean, and then, oh, you know, take over the world. What do you think?" Uncle Fred laughed that big booming laugh and tilted his head back. "If anyone could do it, it would be you, boy. I always knew you were destined for greatness. Now that you got that fancy pants degree, it's just a matter of time," he said. "Really, though, what's your plan?" "Well, actually, most people who graduate from business school go on to become consultants, which I don't really want to do. I want to start my own business." "Oh, yeah? What kind?" "I have an idea that I think could be really big, but it's going to take some money to get it going." "Lay it on me." "Well, it's kind of complex, but basically it comes down to helping companies from America connect with business people in other countries who are seeking investments. I'd be putting the main players together, and I'd be able to use what I've learned about international currency trading. See, when money goes from one currency to another, it loses a percentage in the exchange. I think that there are some ways to increase the efficiencies in the exchange. I think it would especially benefit nonprofits that move billions of dollars around the world for things like disaster relief, missions projects, and things like that. I think I could potentially save organizations billions of dollars." "Wow, that sounds huge, and well over my head. It's not too big for you, though. Go get 'em." With that, he walked off, presumably to get another burger. A long line of well-wishers made their way to Marcus throughout the afternoon. His cousins were slightly envious, and the older relatives were very proud. All in all, though, the family was thrilled for Marcus. It did feel a little weird to some of them, what with the whole MBA prestige thing going on. They had just never considered themselves that kind of family. But they were excited to see how high Marcus could soar. At one point, Jack pulled his brother aside. "What's going on, bro?" "Not much, just chillin'. What's up with you?" "Just eatin'. Have you tried Aunt Susan's potato salad? It's awesome." That was Jack for you. Always about the food. Marcus was always about the money, and Jack was always about the food. They had similar personalities and ran around together, but Marcus was just a little more, shall we say, focused. "In fact, I'm about to go get some more, and maybe another plate of chicken wings. Want some?" "No, I'm good. I have my fans to attend to." "Always the superstar," Jack said as he disappeared to get another plate. All afternoon, people had been piling gifts on a table near the sliding glass door that led into the kitchen. Definitely one of the best perks of graduation. After everyone left, the Drakes sat down to relax in the living room and watch Marcus open his gifts. Also joining them that evening was Margaret's mother, Beatrice, who was visiting from the little town in North Dakota where she lived. Marcus got the typical graduation gifts, travel kits, luggage, pens, stationery, and the like. His mom and dad gave him a very expensive briefcase that he had not so inconspicuously pointed out to his mother while on a trip to the mall the previous summer. After all the other gifts had been opened, there remained just one. Beatrice got up and began to leave the room. "I'll be right back. I left my gift in my room. I think you'll like it." As she left, Marcus thought about his grandmother. He didn't know her all that well. His grandpa had died when Marcus was 5, and since she lived so far away and didn't like to travel, he hadn't seen her that often. As Marcus was growing up, he always thought Beatrice smelled like flowers. That really was the extent of it. That and the fact she always mailed him $5 for his birthday, like virtually every grandmother in America. At 80, Beatrice took some time walking to the room she was sleeping in and back, and the family chit-chatted in her absence. "I bet she got you a bottle of cologne," Jack suggested. "Everybody knows you need it." "No, I'm guessing a fingernail clipping set, which she should be giving you instead. Do you ever cut those things? You look like a cougar." "You boys better watch yourselves," Margaret interjected. "Your grandmother's going to surprise you." "You know what she got me?" Marcus asked. "I do, and it'll be the best present you've ever received. I guarantee it." "Really?" asked Jack. "Grandma came through for Marcus? Cool." Just then, Beatrice came slowly back through the door into the living room. While she walked a little slower these days, she was actually in good health considering her age. She just walked slower than before. When it wasn't too cold out, she strolled around her small town to keep active. During the winter, she did what she called old people stretching at the Grange Hall 3 days a week. She didn't have a gift in her hand, just an envelope. Marcus hoped it wasn't $5. As she got close to Marcus, she handed it to him and said again, "I really think you'll like this. At least I hope you will." This was the best gift ever? Marcus wondered. It couldn't be a huge check because he knew his grandma didn't have that kind of money. What could it be? There was only one way to find out. He tore open the envelope and inside found a simple card that read, "A Weekend with Bobby Gold, June 19th through 23rd. Along with it was a slip of paper with a phone number that said "Sell." Okay, this was strange. Bobby Gold was only one of the most famous billionaires in America. Marcus was very aware of who he was, but what did the card mean? Margaret smiled softly as she watched Marcus's confused look. "I don't get it, Grandma. Is it a seminar or something? Is he speaking somewhere? What do you mean by a weekend?" "I mean you'll be spending the weekend, actually 4 or 5 days, with Bobby Gold. I arranged the whole thing." She was beaming now. Margaret and Bill also looked happy, while Marcus and Jack just looked quizzically at each other. "Okay, so I must really be in the dark. How am I going to spend a weekend with Bobby Gold? And what am I going to do with him?" The thought crossed his mind that perhaps his grandma might be pulling his leg. "Oh yes, I suppose it appears strange, doesn't it? I arranged for you to spend that time with Bobby so he could teach you a little about business. That should be fun, don't you think?" "Well, sure, Grandma, it sounds great, but how did you pull this off?" He still wasn't sure it was actually true. "I called him and asked him if he would do it for me," Beatrice said matter-of-factly. "You just picked up the phone and asked a guy worth $18 billion if your grandson could hang out with him?" "Exactly." "Mom," Margaret said, interrupting their obviously confusing exchange, "perhaps you should explain how you know Bobby." "Oh yes, that's a good idea. It sounds outlandish, doesn't it?" "You know Bobby Gold?" Jack and Marcus said in unison. I do. Well, more accurate.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?